Would you pray tonight on this Christmas Eve to give you the glory? And so we do pray tonight that as we come together and sing songs of worship that glorify your name and hear a short message, that all aspects of our time together here tonight would be glorifying to you, that we would behold the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would see him in all of his glory, that we would cling to his truths and his promises, that you would make us more into his image tonight as a result of us being together. And so we just want to give you thanks for this time and pray that you would use this time that we have in the next few minutes and throughout our service tonight to glorify yourself and to edify us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good evening. My name is Matt Karger. I am the pastor here at Newport Community Church and want to welcome you all to our Christmas Eve service. We have a fun night ahead of us tonight. And so I want to say Merry Christmas. And I'm grateful that you guys are all here tonight. So one of the fun traditions that we have at Newport Community Church right around Christmas time is to have Mr. Ted share with us from Luke chapter 2. So we're going to start off on, our service with Ted sharing from Luke chapter 2. So come on up here, Ted, and give your Luke chapter 2 rendition for us. Well, this next part in our service is a fun part that we get to experience with the kids' ministry. They have been practicing for over a month on this song, and they are able to do their first rendition of it a couple weeks ago. And so they get to do it again for us tonight. and up on stage. And so the kids and those who are in kids ministry, if you guys want to come up and take your spots on stage, it'd be great. Amen. One more round of applause for the kids. Very, very good job. Good job, guys. All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we kind of dive into His Word tonight. Father, we just want to thank You again for just how much You have already blessed us tonight through the beautiful lyrics in these songs and the time that we got to see just the kids up there singing the songs and praises to Jesus. And we are so grateful just to be able to gather together to sing to You, to praise You, to thank You for what You have done for us in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And so with these next few moments that we have, just hearing from Your Word tonight, I pray that You would move and stir our hearts and grow our affection for Christ. Help us to continue to behold Him and behold His glory. We just want to thank You for what You are going to do and what You have already done for us tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, when I was a child, I remember Christmas morning being a pretty glorious moment. My sister and I would get up and we'd be in our Christmas pajamas that, of course, our grandma made for us. My dad had the wood stove going and Christmas music was playing in the background. And I just remember peeking my head into the living room and seeing the Christmas tree and all of the presents underneath the Christmas tree there. And it was almost kind of like a majestic sight as a little child. And I'm sure You know, if you were to think back at your childhood, I'm sure you probably have some memories of Christmas morning and what it was like for you whenever you got up on Christmas morning and saw the presents underneath the tree. But as fun and happy as those feelings were, they're just gone as fast as they come, don't they? In other words, they're really just kind of fleeting joys. And that's really true for all of us. Because before you know it, if you think about it, Christmas is going to be over. All of the presents will be unwrapped. The feelings of excitement and joy that the season brought will soon be gone. Kids will lose their interest in the gifts that they unwrapped. You have to look forward to going back to work again. And you're going to have to just start normal life all over again. It's oftentimes the things that we think will bring us the most joy are things that we end up continuously chasing after over and over and over again. And so the question for us tonight to think about is, how do we get joy that actually lasts? How do we, in other words, live in this spirit of Christmas all year long and not just in this particular season? How does the sense of peace and joy and satisfaction we oftentimes feel at Christmas time, how does that continue to resonate deep in our hearts forever? Do you think it's possible for the joy of Christmas to be the theme song of your life? Well, I believe it is possible. And the answer to where to find it is not found in materialistic things or materialistic gifts under the tree, but it's found in a superior gift that we're going to see tonight out of Psalm chapter 98. And so let me just take a moment and just read this psalm for you. You can open up if you have a Bible. You can open up to it if you'd like. But if you don't, that's okay. Just hear the Psalm 98. It's only 9 verses. It says, Psalm 98, a psalm. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation, and he has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel, and all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar in all that fills it, the world and all those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. And he will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. All right, so let me just first put this psalm, Psalm 98, in context. And then we will see together how it points to Jesus Christ. And then we'll consider lastly what it means for us this Christmas. If you haven't spent much time in the Psalms, it may be helpful for you to know that the Psalms were songs. They were poems that are oftentimes sung by the people of Israel. And this particular psalm in Psalm chapter 98 is a psalm of victory. So oftentimes it would have been likely sung by Israel's soldiers returning home from a military battle. And the first time that we see a song like this in scripture in the Bible is when God defeated Pharaoh and his armies in the Red Sea. And God's people were delivered from the hand of the enemy. So just listen to the song that they sung after they were delivered out of slavery through the Red Sea in Exodus chapter 15. It says, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider has been thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war, The Lord is his name. Now, it has been said that this psalm that we're looking at tonight in Psalm chapter 98 was written with this type of deliverance and rescue in view. But it's also written for the nation to sing right now and in the future about God's victories over his enemies. So it was a victory song. It was a song of deliverance, a song that praised God as the ultimate warrior and ultimate king. Now, the song begins with a call to praise God for his strength and salvation that he has brought to his people. It says in verse 1, to sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. So what the psalmist means whenever he says his right hand and his holy arm, he's specifically talking about God's strength, his might. He's emphasizing the fact that God single-handedly has been the one who has defeated Israel's enemies. He's won the victory for himself, both in defeating the enemies of Israel and redeeming his people. And then in verses 2-3, he describes how the Lord didn't try to hide this victory, but rather he made known his salvation and his righteousness to the entire world. In other words, all of the nations have seen the marvelous deeds of God. They have seen that he has been a God who is faithful and trustworthy to his people. They have all seen that there is no God like the God of Israel, that no one could compare with this type of God, that he was mighty and strong and always stuck by his chosen people. So what the psalmist is really describing here is this type of worldwide type of witness of God's character and his power and his greatness that's been on display. Therefore, since this good news of God's salvation has spread throughout the whole world, the song calls in verses 4-9 for everything in the entire earth to give praise to God. So it says, the nations should shout for joy and to break forth in joyous song. They're called to sing with their voices. And then they're called to use these stringed instruments and trumpets and horns, all in a celebration of this great God and King. Then the song calls for all of nature to join in on the praises as well. In verse 7, the psalmist says, let the sea roar and all that fills it. So all of the fish and the whales and the sea creatures are all supposed to be joining in together with this chorus of praising the Lord. And then he goes on to say, let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills and the mountains sing for joy together. All of nature, in other words, along with the nations, indeed the whole entire world, were called to praise and exalt this warrior king. And why is the whole world called to give glory to this king? Because as verse 9 says, he's coming back to judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity and fairness. Now surely, if we were just to read this psalm, surely there is joy to be had in just reading it and meditating on it on our own, just as we've already done tonight. But the lasting joy that endures to the end is captured in the person to whom this psalm ultimately points. Because the victory of the warrior king that is described in Psalm 98 finds its ultimate fulfillment in Jesus Christ, when he came to this earth to battle on our behalf. But Jesus didn't go to war against other nations. He went to war on a far greater evil and more powerful enemy than we can imagine. Christ came to defeat sin and death once and for all. So just listen to Luke chapter 2, verse 11, one of the verses that Ted recited for us earlier tonight. It says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now, if we're just reading that, that should rise a question in our minds. And we should ask ourselves, what was the purpose of Christ coming? What was he actually saving his people from? Well, as Mark chapter 10, verse 45 says, Christ came to give his life as a ransom for many. The word ransom means a price that is paid to secure freedom of a prisoner. It means to deliver a person from their enemy, essentially. And the enemy that plagues every single human heart are the enemies of sin and death. Sin that deserves everlasting judgment, separated from God forever in hell. And the bad news is that everyone, apart from Jesus Christ, is under that judgment right now. But that's why the promised coming of Christ, of which Psalm 98 anticipated, of which we were just singing about, of what Christmas is all about, the promised coming of Christ is what makes the gospel so beautiful. Because even though sinners are in bondage to their sin, Christ entered into his own creation and single-handedly fought the battle that they could never win. And he not only fought that battle on their behalf, but he ultimately reversed the curse of sin and death once for all on the cross. You think about Christ hanging there on the cross, and as he hung there, he died as a substitute for sinners just like you and me, paying the penalty of sin so that you could be freed from sin's penalty, so that you could be freed from sin's power over your life. And he proved to be the ultimate warrior king when he was raised from the dead, when he was raised alive from the grave and to live forevermore. And so now, today, tonight, this day, Christmas Eve, he's calling all, anyone and everyone, to turn from their sin and to trust in him by faith. See, if you believe in Christ, the power of death has been broken. You receive the freedom of sin's penalty. You receive the freedom of sin's power in your life, all because Christ powerfully destroyed sin and death itself. And he did that through his own life, through his death, and through his resurrection. And brothers and sisters, this is the good news of the gospel. This is the true essence of Christmas joy. Joy that is not a fleeting feeling, but a joy that is everlasting, a joy that is completely unbreakable. So just like the soldiers in Israel's day in Psalm chapter 98, those who are in Christ can also sing these same victory songs together. We can praise Jesus as our warrior who went to battle on our behalf. We can praise Jesus as our king who rules over his people and the creation with righteousness and goodness. We can praise him that he will one day come back as judge of all the earth and rid the world from all the remaining evil and victoriously bring his people home to glory. We can tonight essentially take off the governor of our praise and truly sing to the Lord a new song. Why? Because he has done marvelous things for us. So tonight, let us relish in the goodness of Christ, and let us sing for the joy of all that he has done for us. And tomorrow morning, when you wake up in the morning and you're opening your gifts, remember the greatest gift that could ever be given to you in Christ. May your joy be full as you remember that one day, all of the earth will rejoice in its Savior, who was the promised one who was to come, and he has come, and he is giving himself and inviting you all to him tonight. So let's continue to praise him and continue to seek him tonight. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are grateful for his sacrifice on behalf of his people, dying on the cross, bearing the weight of guilt and shame upon himself. We are grateful for the fact that he not only bore the sin and shame of sin and took our penalty, but that he also rose again from the grave and is evermore, right now, interceding for his people and alive evermore. And I pray tonight, if there is someone who does not know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, that they would call out to him, that they would turn from their sin, they would trust in Christ's sacrifice for their salvation, that they would continue to follow after Jesus Christ and make him the ultimate pursuit in their life. Because that is why and where we are able to find true, lasting, ultimate joy. So I pray that as we sing these next couple songs and we fellowship together tonight, that that joy would be coming out of our hearts. And that you would help us to sing praises to the Lord for his glory and for our good. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Receive this benediction from Psalm 118, verses 28 and 29. Which says, "You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." Thank you for joining us tonight. You can now blow out your candles, and there are baskets in the back to put your candles as well, and then we have food and drinks downstairs for a little gathering and fellowship, so I hope you're able to stay after for a little bit and hang out with us downstairs so we can be dismissed and head downstairs now. So God bless you. Merry Christmas if I don't see you, and see you guys on Sunday.